Well, Zach, I actually just finished crushing some chicken farm, and I am freaking ready to rock and roll.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on into Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. I'm your host, Zach Blackerby. Thank you so much for making Locked On Auburn your first listen every single day. Happy Ferg Friday. Hope everyone enjoyed their Thanksgiving. You as well, Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. How are y'all?
Good.
You, I guess.
Good. Fine. Yeah.
I don't know why I said y'all.
It's early. It's early for both of us. No, we're recording this a few hours before Auburn takes on UConn and basketball, so that's why there's no basketball talk. But should be a fun week, and you'll have all the coverage at AuburnObserver.com. But yeah, let's talk about tomorrow's game. Let's talk about the Iron Bowl, Justin. I've been kind of talking best case scenarios all week, like what needs to happen both to Alabama and to Auburn for this to go well for the Tigers. But I just don't see a scenario. The more people I talk to and the more I look at it, it's like I don't see a scenario where Auburn can slow down Alabama's passing attack for all 60 minutes.
Yeah, it's going to have to be managing it the best that you can. I think they're going to absolutely have to pressure Bryce Young a lot more than they've tried to pressure some guys recently. I mean, they dropped 8 a ton with Will Rogers, and you didn't get any of the benefits of dropping 8. We've seen this Alabama offensive line give up a fair amount of sacks this season. Bryce Young's really great at managing the pass rush. And I understand why teams might be scared to blitz him a little bit more. I'm not even saying blitz. Like, if you can get home with 4 a lot more regularly than you have been, you know, that would be a big key for Auburn. But, you know, I think if you're looking at Auburn in this game, and, you know, fans are fans. They're not, you know, defensive coordinators, and they're not defensive minds, you know, to the level of the coaching staff. But, like, I think Auburn fans would be a lot more accepting if Bryce Young has an excellent game on Saturday and he does it while Auburn is getting pressure on him. Like, you would much rather live with that, because if you drop 8 and you sit back there and he picks you apart, because that's the thing. Arkansas dropped 8 a ton against him, and he threw for the second most yards we've ever seen any SEC quarterback throw.
Right.
Auburn can't afford to do that. They cannot afford to do that, so they've got to get pressure on them, whether it's by just getting 4 out there or being very smart and selective with their blitzes. You know, the whole pitch for Derek Mason coming in was changing up defensive fronts, doing different things with blitz packages and stuff like that. Like, this is the time for him to unload the clip. Like, he has got to throw it all out there and do whatever it takes to try to, you know, get after an offensive line that has been susceptible at times to the pass rush and a quarterback who is really, really good. Especially if you give him all the time in the world to throw the ball.
Does your hat have a pig on it?
This is the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, my bad.
This is a shout out to Painter.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
The Pats passed them in the AFC East standings. I'm just putting that out there. No. So
as someone who has the Bills defense in fantasy, it was not a great week for me last weekend.
Fair enough. So in regards to putting pressure on Bryce, what do you think that looks like? Do you send linebackers? Do you put 4 guys on the line of scrimmage at the start of the play? How do you think they do that?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to make it very common to rush 4. I think it's going to have to look more like that kind of pass rushing package we've seen them on third downs do. And then I think they're going to have to sometimes, you know, drop a guy into coverage, but then send a safety, send a Smoke Monday, which they did a lot of down the stretch against Mississippi State. Send a guy like Roger McCreary every now and then off the edge. Send a nickel. You know, I think you've got to shake it up. I don't think you can be kind of like, all right, we're going to do this over and over again, because Young is such a smart and such a talented quarterback that he would be able to manage that very frequently. So I think your standard, like, pass rush, your traditional, here's our linemen, here's our edge guys, let's get after the quarterback, that they've got to be really good. But I also think at certain times you got to take some chances. And if Bama beats you when you take those chances, it's not going to be fun. But, like, I think you live with that a lot more, because you have to get after this dude. Last week he picked apart an Arkansas defense that didn't really get much pressure on him. But if you look at the games like the LSU game, the Texas A&M game for Alabama, teams that have been able to get after him at quarterback have had the most success.
Yeah, and that's kind of where when I'm trying to talk myself into, you know, Auburn has a legitimate shot here, is it's not the A&M game to me because I think the talent gap's different there, but the LSU game. It's like I think Auburn's defense is just as good as or better than LSU's defense this year. Yeah. And it's like if they can do that in Tuscaloosa, why can't Auburn do that in Jordan-Hare Stadium? So that to me is the game where if I'm Brian Harsin, I'm trying to figure out what exactly they did.
Yeah, and that game also, it was several sacks in that game for LSU, several tackles for loss. And it was also a game where they didn't run the ball. Bama has not had to run the ball really well to be an awesome team this season. I think they're a little bit more okay with throwing the ball this season as they have been in the past at the rate that they're doing it. But you got to live with that. I think you got to live with that if you're Auburn. Defensive front linebackers really do a good job of changing things up. I'm not going to say confuse Bryce Young because he's really good and he's seen a lot already this season, but find ways to get after that defensive front and make this kind of a one-dimensional game where you can kind of pin your ears back a little bit more and get after the quarterback. He's going to get his yards. He's going to get his touchdowns. It's impossible to stop John Metchie and Jameson Williams over and over and over again. But managing that and finding ways to get some negative plays out there, because that's the way. If Bama continues to kind of take chunks at you over and over again, they're going to score a lot. Auburn's got to gamble a little bit, and hopefully you get into some second and long situations and third and long situations where you can guard the sticks and get off the field.
Right. You mentioned them sending Smoke Monday a lot. Is that something that Mason has done at other places where he blitzes one of his safeties, or is this a thing where it's like, honestly, Smoke Monday may be better at that than you know, playing deep thirds or something like that?
Yeah, he does blitz his guys, his safeties and his DBs a decent amount. And Smoke is good at closing down, and Smoke is good at hitting people. We all know that. And so I think, you know, that was the thing with Derek Mason's defensive front is that, you know, you do see some of those stuff sometimes where it's like they have one down lineman and then there's just like four or five dudes kind of floating around that second level. And sometimes those can be safeties. Sometimes those can be inside linebackers or nickels or stuff like that. So I think it's just kind of adapting and learning your personnel a little bit more as the season's gone on. And I think Smoke's one of those guys that brings value as a passer, especially when you don't have a guy like Owen out there.
Right.
And Owen's speed and kind of does safety-like stuff. Smoke, I think, is a good replacement for that in the pass rush. If, you know, the few times you do want to blitz from that position.
Do we see Owen again this year?
Man, I don't think so. It's just because, you know, he was out for a while with that injury, and then when he came back, he just didn't look the same. Yes. He didn't look, you know, his production wasn't the same. I think, you know, if he was 100% or if he felt like he could go and, like, give his best effort and like, provide good value to the team, I'm sure he would play. But, I mean, the injury he picked up against Penn State has done a number on him. And it sucks because, you know, this is a guy who I think has, you know, potential first-round or at least second-round NFL talent. And this season that he's got right here, it's been hard for him to kind of put all that on film. And so I'll be very interested to see what happens with Owen moving forward.
Yeah, he's got to come back anyway, though. So, I mean, he would have had to have a solid season next year regardless. So he'll still be able to do that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, like, there's a number of those guys. The defense, when you think about big picture moving forward for Auburn, is like part of the reason why they need to get some sort of momentum, something. I mean, be competitive, come out of your first Iron Bowl if you're Brian Harsin, like so many guys before him, and say, okay, we can compete with this team, or, you know, we led this team at one point, or we straight up beat them.
Yeah.
You've got to do that because, like, there's a situation where you need to nail a lot of stuff in recruiting coming up. You got to nail the transfer portal. And, like, we already know Roger McCreary's not coming back.
Right.
There are several stars on this defense that are draft eligible, and they're going to go through that process. And I think Owen will be one of them.
Is Owen draft eligible? I thought he was. Yeah, he's a
third-year junior.
Gotcha.
And here's another one. Colby Wooden's draft eligible as a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see those guys go through the process, and they're going to have to make the best decisions for themselves. But, like, you could get into a situation next year if you're Auburn where you have a defense that lost a good bit of star power, and that is going to be that'll make 2022 a lot tougher.
I mean, you'll lose your number one corner. You'll lose Smoke. I think Auburn fans will feel differently about that. You'll lose all of your linebackers in this scenario. And almost all of your defensive front.
Yeah, you could lose Colby. You could lose you. I mean, there's an opportunity for Auburn to lose a massive amount of starters from this defense. And yes, the defense has not been great, you know, all season long.
Right.
But it's a whole lot tougher to try to rebuild that. Yeah. And I feel the same way about the offensive line. Like, you know, Auburn's offensive line has gotten mixed reviews to negative reviews in certain games this season and certain games the last few years. But it's right. And then trying to rebuild off of that, that's easier said than done. I feel the same. You know, defense and offensive line, those are the two reloading areas that, I mean, it will make 2022 a difficult challenge for this staff. It's not impossible, but they'd have to nail a lot in this offseason.
It's a Ferg Friday here. Hey, today's show brought to you by our friends at NetSuite. This is it, the putt to win the championship. If you sink it, the championship is yours, but on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. Over 27,000 businesses are already using NetSuite. And right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end-of-the-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Also, business owners and high-income professionals, listen up. Have you ever considered that by funding a 401k or an IRA, you're potentially creating a massive tax burden on your future self when you retire? Contrary to what you're told by traditional advisors and accountants, a 401k or IRA does not save on taxes. It just postpones the tax and tax calculation. So Ethan Dahl, the owner of Innovative Financial Solutions, has clients throughout the country that he has helped assist with this, and their future selves are super appreciative of him and how much money he saves them over the course of their life. Contact Ethan at 251-243-6038 or email him ethan@ethandaw.com. Ethan Dahl, your alternative to traditional financial planning. It's a Ferg Friday. Jay Ferg, tell us what's going on at the Auburn Observer these days. I'm asking you to project like 3 or 4 days in the future right now.
A lot of basketball. Lot of basketball and Iron Bowl stuff. Yeah. Monday's film room was on kind of the big things from Auburn's offense against South Carolina, I think, were the big killers in that one. Wrote a column-y kind of thing on Tuesday saying kind of what I was saying earlier. Like, if you're Brian Harsin, man, you really, really need to have a competitive game here. I'm not saying it's a must-win game, but, you know, you got to come out of your first Iron Bowl with some momentum, considering the situation you're in moving forward. And then there's a lot of Battle for Atlantis coverage on there. We did a podcast on Wednesday previewing the Iron Bowl and the matchups. And then by the time you're listening to this, Auburn have already played two of them. So you will get all that at auburnobserver.com and check it out. $6 a month, $60 a year. Everything we do gets sent straight to your email inbox, story-wise or podcast-wise. And it makes a pretty good gift if you're thinking about it. It's Black Friday. If you're thinking about something for an Auburn fan that you may feel like is a little difficult to buy for, we have gift options there that are very, very easy to set up. And, you know, they can, you can schedule them out and they can, the subscription can become active on Christmas Day. You know, we do a lot of stuff like that as well. So yeah, there's a lot of ways to get involved and a lot of ways to share it at auburnobserver.com.
That's cool. Absolutely. Yeah. Very busy week for the Auburn Observer with football and basketball really picking up at the same time. Mm-hmm. So that'll be cool. You mentioned, let's keep talking about the defensive backs here. Roger McCreary is a guy that I'm never going to be really concerned about him. Who else needs to step up if Auburn's going to pull this off? Is it Jalen Simpson in your mind or is it somebody else?
Whoever your number two corner is. And we saw Roe Torrence play a little bit out there in South Carolina. I think they're going to rotate. Roger, put Roger on somebody and let him go to work. And you know, but the thing with Alabama is they don't just have one awesome receiver, which, I mean, you're used to that now by now, right?
Right.
It's Mechie and Jameson Williams. And so, yeah, it's that second corner. That second corner, whoever it's going to be or whoever it's going to be in terms of who they roll out there, has got to play a really good game. You know, I think back to some of the good performances Auburn has had in the Iron Bowls recently against awesome wide receivers. It's like there's usually, you know, a containment or at least like, you know, a situation where multiple guys don't run wild on you. You know, the 19 Iron Bowl, you know, everybody saw, it was the 19 Iron Bowl where it was, I am blanking on his name already. Dolphins, Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle went nuts in that game. Right. But like Jerry Jeudy didn't have a huge game. And, you know, Devontae Smith, I think, may have had a couple of big plays.
It's crazy how many they've had where it's just like, goodness gracious. And like the last 5 years, they've got like 10 first round receivers. It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, and then you can go back to, you know, the 13 Iron Bowl and Amari Cooper. And you know, you can go back before that as well. It's like they're going to throw
was a freshman on that team, too, which is stupid.
Yeah. You can throw, they're going to throw a bunch of really awesome receivers at you. And it's like Roger can, I'm not saying take care of one and completely shut him down, but like you, that second guy's got to make sure that like this doesn't become the John Metchie game or the Jameson Williams game.
Sure.
Because if that happens, Auburn's going to have to like do some wacky stuff like they did in the 19 Iron Bowl where it's like turnovers and kind of crazy plays on offense.
Yeah. Somebody commented earlier this week on YouTube saying how it seems like they've tried a few tricky things this year, Auburn has, and it hasn't really worked yet. You think this is the time where maybe something like that comes together?
Like on offense?
Yeah.
Yeah. This kind of feels like the game where they would have to try some stuff like that. And it hasn't really worked, but like I think you have to be smart about it. You know, I think hindsight, of course, is 20/20, but I think everybody looks at that fourth and one shot call and it's like, whoo, that was not good. Right. That was not good all the way around. But yeah, I feel like this is a game where you're going to have to kind of do some stuff like that. Not because I think you have to necessarily to beat Alabama's defense. I think Alabama's defense is, they're merely top 20 instead of top 5 across the board.
Yeah, they're beatable on defense. Right.
But they got to find ways to kind of get going and find some explosiveness, and drawing stuff up like that might be the key.
My thing is just, if you're the Auburn offense, you've got to do everything you can to give your defense a break. I mean,
oh, for sure. Well, I mean, the thing here to me is that, and it's South Carolina. And South Carolina, as we said last week, is not good at stopping the run. Right. Bama is really good at stopping the run. It's probably the best thing they do on defense. Definitely is the best thing they do on defense statistically this season. This offense has got to, whatever they figured out last week, and they didn't rotate as much on the offensive line, and Tank played really, really well, and they should have given him the ball more, especially on first downs. But they've got to do that, and like Auburn's got to have some like 5, 6, 7 minute touchdown drives, because Bama's going to hit back quick, right? And that's going to be what they want to do. And so playing at home, playing with that crowd, like you have some sustained drives and just take your shots. Like the funny thing is that this game, you know, we can talk about how Auburn has struggled the last couple of weeks, and we can talk about how like a month ago this game felt completely different. But like, say if Auburn doesn't lose the last 2 weeks and they're coming into this game, you know, 9-8, 8-3 or whatever. If they're coming into the camp, like we're still saying the same stuff. We're still saying like, oh yeah, you're gonna want to work the clock. You're gonna want to, you know, give that. It doesn't change anything that Alabama is. So even though you're not playing as well right now, the motivations and the goals on offense remain the same.
That's a good point. And yeah, very well said. Justin Ferguson, it's a Ferg Friday. Today's show brought to you by our friends at betonline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving and holiday season. When you sign up at betonline.ag, use promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus to receive some extra cash for your betting pleasure. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed for deals this Thanksgiving. Also, today's show brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. It's the most wonderful time of the year, Black Friday. Built is going all out to make Black Friday weekend the most delicious Black Friday that ever was in the history of Black Fridays. New limited time flavors, new types of bars, and a winter wonderland of a deal. So they have 20% off of anything and everything at Built.com. Just use promo code LOCKED20, L-O-C-K-E-D 20. They've got a new flavor, Ruby Chocolate Puffs, as well as Lemon Dipped Cheesecake Puffs, and they have a new Built Bar, the Crave Bar. So be sure to check that out. If you go and buy two brand new of their candy bars, you can get a Crave Bar for free. So a lot of good stuff going at Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED20 for 20% off for your Black Friday action. Final few minutes here as Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer, our guest this morning. Hey, I think TJ Finley was fine against South Carolina. I don't think he got as much of the help and support that he probably deserved or probably needed to win the game. But I don't feel as, I don't know. I think he did fine. I think he did fine against South Carolina.
He was fine.
Is it going to be enough to beat Alabama? I don't know. But
I don't know. Here's my thing with TJ Finley. It's like he played, I think, as well as you probably could have expected him to play in that game. Like, sure. He is not a super accurate, super efficient passer at this point in his career. So throwing him in there in game 11 with an offensive line that has been banged up without your best receiver in Kobe Hudson. Like, right. He played, I think, as well as you could have expected. You know, he could have made some more throws. It was just like, he was not the reason why you lost that game, right? He was not the reason why you lost that game. So, you know, does Auburn need him to be Superman to win this game? No. 2 years ago, Bo Nix does not post a great line. He just makes the plays and takes the opportunities when he has them.
Yeah.
And Auburn wins. It's a team effort. And I think it's going to have to be in this case as well.
Do you think they'll be able to run the ball against Bama? I know we touched on that for a second, but you know, Tank Bigsby, what kind of game you think he has tomorrow?
It needs to. He's got to be like tackle breaking, like the tank of old, the tank of the best we've seen this season. I think Auburn's offensive line is going to be in for a tough time just because Bama's defensive front is Bama's defensive front. And this is the one thing they're really, really good at this year. Like, every Alabama fan's complaining about how they're not like Georgia this year on defense.
Right.
And I get it. But they're really good at stopping the run. They're top five in the country in that. And it's like, it's going to have to be Tank. You're going to have to break some tackles. Jarquez, you're going to have to hit a seam and break some tackles. This is you, Sean Shivers. We remember what you did last time you were in this game in Jordan-Hare Stadium. So, like, I think that's going to have to be a lot of that. Would I predict it? No. But I think if Auburn has any chance to be competitive in this game or, you know, have a chance to pull off the upset, they've got to run the ball.
Do you get the impression? I mean, you could tell when Gus Malzahn was here, he worked on this game plan a little bit all year round. This was not something that he just worked on, you know, the week of, obviously. How do you think Harsin's approaching this game? I mean, I think he did a good job bringing us back to, you know, the very first question he was asked at his Christmas Eve presser and all that, which was kind of a cool thing that he remembered all that. But what, I don't know, how do you think he approaches this?
I'm surprised he remembers anything from press conferences.
Yeah. This is the way he handles them for sure. Especially like when, I mean, he was working on moving and, you know, uprooting his family and coming here. But yeah, so... Do you think his approach to this is different, or do you think it's just what he said at a podium?
I think it's one of those things where he is big on like the 1-0 every week kind of thing.
Is that still working?
Huh?
The 1-0 4th-and-1 mentality. Is that still working?
Yeah. Well, the fourth and one didn't work last time. But it's the thing where it's like, I think he treats every game as big, and like from a scheme perspective and from like a preparation, like, this is like every other game that they've had, but I think it has that kind of weighted importance. And I think it's kind of the context that it's in, right? You know, like I said earlier, Auburn first-year head coaches come out of their first Iron Bowls usually with some sort of momentum, right? They either played competitively against – it goes all the way back to Pat Dye. They've either played competitively and led at some point against a top-10 Alabama team, or they've won. And so – this is necessary for it. And like, if Auburn goes and gets smashed on Saturday, that doesn't mean the Harsin era is going to be a failure. That doesn't mean 2022 is going to be a failure. It just makes things a lot tougher.
Yeah.
The state loss made things a lot tougher. The South Carolina added onto it. And then now Alabama would add onto it. So I think there is this context of, it's like, as he said, we've got to play our best game of the season this week. That is our goal. That is our focus. And so it's like, there's nothing else left. You play a bowl game, and I think the bowl game in year one means a lot more than maybe, you know, year six under Gus Malzahn, a bowl game may feel. But this is where you've got to put it all out there.
Yeah.
And if the pitch for your offense and your defense was they've got to be ready for everything, well, time to show them everything. And if it doesn't work, and it doesn't, at least you did it trying, and at least you did it with a strategy where Auburn fans could look at it and say, okay, I could see how maybe in a different situation, maybe down the line, this works a little more really. Maybe with a starting quarterback that has, you know, not just been thrust into it. Maybe with a better offensive line or better, you know, a better defensive cohesion. That's what they've got to do in this game. And you're at home, and it's like, come on. I know it's not been great this year, but this is Alabama at its most vulnerable probably than they've been in a while. And number two is you're Auburn. You're playing in the Iron Bowl in Jared Harris Stadium. These games usually go well for you
right. Compared
to not going well, even when you don't win. So I think it's just Auburn's got to act like this is the game and this is the opportunity that they normally show in a matchup like this.
Justin Ferguson, thank you for being flexible for your holiday week and getting this recording in. How can folks sign up to The Observer?
Yeah, auburnobserver.com. Really easy. Put in your email. It'll send you an email with all the instructions. $60 a month or $60 a year gets you access to everything we got going on. And a lot of basketball, a lot of Iron Bowl coverage, and we will see what the future holds for both programs because it's going to be a busy next few weeks.
Absolutely. And we'll talk about everything that happened over the weekend as well as Auburn basketball stuff on Monday's edition of the show. Have a fantastic weekend, everyone. This has been Locked On Auburn.